Live from the pits of Malifaux City, it's Friday Night Photo.
All right, and welcome back to Friday Night Fowdown. I'm your host, Doug, and with me as always is several combatants that will be arguing in the ring tonight. First off is returning champion, Dave.
This isn't my first time?
No, you're not Daniel.
Oh, okay.
Sean.
Howdy, I'm back.
Yeah, and sort of newcomer, Brian.
How's it going? Happy to be here.
Sweet. And Victoria will be joining us later when we're not talking about meta-related stuff. But we have several topics we need to get through. I have a timer set for 1 hour, and we will start right this instant. First topic, a bit something you might have heard of called the Errata. Just came out a week and a half ago for us. It'll be about 2 weeks when this comes out. It's the Summer Errata. Four things were specifically changed, three of them for the Arcanist, one of them for the Gremlins. First off was that the Windgammon got a huge nerf. They now are able to die, and at a later time, now has to go off right away. The other changes were Practice Production now has to target a non-peon, non-insignificant model. The Mechanical Rider now summons on an 8 instead of a 6, and the trigger for their harpoon thing puts out only one token instead of two, tokens being scheme markers. And the last change was to the Stuffed Piglets. They went up from 2 soul stones to a cost of 3, and that was all they had to change over the summer. Our first person going is Dave. Dave, what are your opinions on this errata, and how does it have an effect on the meta?
I have already switched to Neverborn.
Oh, okay.
No, I was planning on switching to Neverborn for a while anyways. But the nerfs in general, after it's settled for a little bit, I'm not too upset about. The initial knee-jerk to me was Mech Rider. Mostly because at 12 points, she's already kind of an iffy purchase for me. Just because until turn 3 or so, she's kind of a liability that you want to keep back because everyone wants to target Mech Rider before they can start churning up models and gaining more armor and becoming harder to kill. So when she's competing with people like Howard, even the Rail Golem on occasion, it's kind of hard for her to be an auto pick for that point range. When other models, like, say, the Yasunori, who is also cost 12 but performs more like a 14-point model, didn't get touched at all. So that was probably my biggest takeaway from this was other models needed more attention than the Mech Rider. But it is what it is. It's not the end of the world. The summoning lines up with other summoning, needing, you know, 4 plus the cost of the model. But you can't really do it until turn 2 or 3, so you're already at a disadvantage for pure summoning. You still get the mobility for free, so there's trade-offs either way. So she just got kind of more of the edges rounded than completely cuddled to death. For me, the Windgammon nerf, I never saw it as being overly abused in our area. Apparently it was abused everywhere else, so I didn't really get the issues with it because it was there for all of Wave 3 and no one touched it, and then Sandeep came around and suddenly it was broken. But yeah, it can die. That's fine. The saving the 5-inch push was a weird wording mechanic that I don't think was intended, so that's fine. They could have just worded it as you must use the push immediately rather than just having him killed, because there's many models that bury. It's already at a melee 4, has kind of a crappy leap. So the push is really what was keeping it in people's minds to pick up. So I feel it got kind of the Metal Gaiman treatment of nerf it into something that nobody cares about again. So I'll continue to just hire Fire Gaiman instead. Practice production, it needed a change. Just, it needed fixed. It was too much of an auto-include. For 10 points, you got so much control. Towards the end, I was just hiring Angelica with that upgrade just to fake, and a Raptor just to fake Leave Your Mark, just to help do like claim jump, dig your graves, anything like that. And I don't play Gremlins, so the stuff Piglet change didn't really seem like a big deal, but a lot of people were saying that it just completely ate a activation for Wong, making Wong now unplayable, which I don't see that as likely. But yeah, I've ranted for a while. But all right, that's what I got.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on this, Brian? I know neither of these are your faction.
I agree mostly what Dave was saying. Like, the stuffed piglets thing, I don't play Gremlins. I'm an outcast guy. I've played Gremlins like 3 times in the 6 months I've been playing the game. So, like, it doesn't really matter to me. I've seen them once. They're annoying. Like, I see why you would change it, but practice production, I think, had to change because there was just no counter to the Raptor popping up in the air and a guaranteed point, basically. And for me personally, Raptors are the bane of my existence. I can never kill them, so it was just terrible. So a change that had to happen. The Wind Gammon, I see why people are upset about it. I think the main thing was the push being saved up, and then you let 3 Wind Gammon die, let's say, and then you suddenly have 15 inches you can just spring on someone. So I don't necessarily care about their killed not buried anymore. I think it was the push. That was the main problem. And then Mech Rider getting the summon target raised. I mean, I think it's fair. It seems like it's on pace with all the other summoners in the game. And speaking as a Levy player, I just got my Mech Rider, actually built her last night. So I really haven't gotten to use her re-nerf, per se. I don't think it's that bad. Like, sure, now I have to get, you know, a cheetah card instead of just getting the top deck. That seems fair to me. And honestly, I think the trigger change might be a buff to her. So instead of just dropping 2, I can throw it, it's what, up to 3 inches if you have enough tomes. And that seems really strong if you're trying to, or more versatile, I should say. So that makes it strong for any number of schemes you're trying to do. And now, like, shooting your own model to drop a scheme that's 3 inches away off what her attacks, a range 8, so you get 11 inches potentially, a little more than that, depending on basing, for throwing a scheme marker. Like, that can save you, you know, a Search the Ruins, let's say, turn 5. I don't know, theoretically. So I like the Mech Rider nerf, so to speak. I think it's actually change. A little bit of, yeah, the change. I think it's a buff, honestly, with the trigger change. Like, I'm quite happy with it. I'm sure I'll play her. And I'll be fine. So.
Sweet. Cool. Sean.
I was just going to say, I wish there had been a couple more like they had changed Hamlin a little bit, but I guess with Gaming Grounds 18, I'm sure they're going to address the problems with Nihilism. I'm just sick of you bring Hamlin and they shut out, you know, 3 of the schemes in the pool. So I would have liked to see that change, but I'm guessing that when 18 comes out for the Gaming Ground, that will be where the schemes themselves will change to address that and not the card, which makes sense.
Yep. I think we'll get into stuff that we think they missed next time around. Sean,
okay.
You play Gremlins, right?
I do. I'm not really overly affected by anything that happened. anyone. Well, I'm not going to make claims like that. That's wrong. But I don't see the argument of the cuddle to Piglets being something that makes Wong unplayable. I don't see that. And I still see Wong as very playable. He just doesn't do the same things with Piglets. So I don't see that as a big deal. And it was something that my local meta actually really used to great effect, not with Wong, but with other masters. And one of our locals ran a stuffed Piglet crew that was just really not even fun for him to play. We all definitely think that the stuffed Piglet was a necessary move, I think. And as far as the Arcanists go, I don't really see any of that as crippling for anyone. I mean, yes, they are, some of them, a little abrupt, but I think everyone agrees that the PP needed it and Mech Rider needed something. I don't know that they achieved it with that, but it's not crushing one way or the other, I don't think. So.
Okay. I realize that we probably should have gone through and explained why these models got fixed. I mean, I kind of explained the Wind Gammon, that they didn't die when you killed them. They buried, and then you got to sacrifice them at your leisure. So they were not dropping, like, heads or counting for... Reckoning? Yeah, Reckoning. And so they were denying strategies like that. And, you know, forget his name, Sandeep was pumping them out. And so he could be feeding the opponent a lot of models that they couldn't score off of and getting free pushes out of the deal, which was the problem. And the other problem is that you can't really ignore them because they've got the Whirlwind trigger that lets them attack basically four times a turn. Regardless if they hit you or not, and just because the way cards flip, they're going to be hitting you every once in a while, and they'll be slowly winding down your health, so you have to deal with them still. Mech Rider, I think the issue was that Mech Rider could summon too easily, and in a faction with two other pretty good summoners, that was way too much easy AP to get a hold of. And couple that with Mech Rider's ability to place markers on her attack, it was a bit too good. Practice production was simply putting practice production on a showgirl and then bringing a raptor or two, and the raptor would just fly away and then show up at the end of the turn, and then the model with practice projection would activate, drop a marker next to the raptor, usually for, what's that scheme?
Leave your mark,
yeah. Drop marker for leave your mark, then the raptor goes back up in the air and you can't hit him, and usually the raptor will unbury in a place that you can't really reach. So that was a problem. And then the stuffed piglets being two soul stones for an activation, more or less. And gremlins already have cheap activations, and that was just a bit much, I think, was a problem. So, getting to Doug. Now, after we've done explaining that. And what was the stuffed piglets thing with Wong, Sean? Because I don't know what that is.
I'm not really sure what people are griping about stuffed piglet with Wong. I mean, I don't get it. He's got so many things that make him awesome. So, you know, the piglet was just... I think it's just cheap activations, like you said.
I think he... Like, a lot of Wong lists must run elite. So the piglets were just free activations to keep up with activation control.
I thought it was fodder for him to blast off of, which would then also deal additional damage.
Yeah, there's some of that too. With the piglets explode when they die. So, but I think most of it was just maintaining activation control on the board in a Wong crew, because. Like Dave said, it's a pretty elite crew, and not many activations as other gremlin lists. So if people get used to the activation control, this is just, it was a way for Wong to still have some activation control.
Okay. My complaint isn't with the erratas themselves. I think everything that's in there makes perfect sense. Was something that was at the very worst too good, and it was kind of a way to equal them out. The issue I have really is that this was supposed to be the quote unquote emergency errata. These were the things that were like this was supposed to be the point where, hey, this stuff is like completely ruining the game. We need to fix it now because it can't wait till the end of the year. And I just don't really see these things needing to be fixed right away. See, like, especially Mech Rider, that was almost just a sidestep because she got better in some aspects and worse in others. Did that really need to happen right now? I feel just hearing people complain about other stuff, it just seems like there was other things out there that was generating more anger and negative play experiences than these.
I have a feeling they were just getting the most squeaky wheel syndrome at the time, and they were easy fixes, relatively.
Oh, I'm just a little bit bitter as an Arcanist because I feel like I just have to keep buying new cards all the time. I mean, I'm not thinking they're targeting my faction. Although, if someone were to think that, there's not a whole ton of evidence that says they aren't. If you really want to think that way, I mean, the big issue was Hamlin, and they say we're going to address that in Gaining Grounds 18, but that's a beta, and if you're technically wanting to use the official stuff, then it's going to be Gaining Grounds 17 for at least a few more months. I'm assuming. So until 18 goes out to be the official, this is what you're playing with now, we still have a few more months of Hamlin just not being able to be beaten in certain situations. And then if they do what I think they're going to do, which everyone assumes they're going to do, instead of changing nihilism, they're just going to say, from now on, our scheme-based conditions ignore things that cannot be ignored by things in the game, then that's technically another nerf to Arcanists and a small nerf to Guild as well with Numb to the World. That's the upgrade, right?
Yeah.
And so that's technically slightly punishing other things that I don't think anyone really thought was too overpowered because of frickin' Hamlin.
Well, and see, this goes back to what we were talking about a few episodes ago, where I don't, from what I know of the history of Malifaux and all of that, not the canon, but the game itself, I don't ever really think that they were planning on tournament play when they started creating the game. I don't think that was even on their radar. So I think what we're seeing here is them reacting to there being a tournament environment and a meta that plays harder and stronger and more rapidly than they do in their initial design testing.
Okay. Excuse me. Yeah, I understand that. And maybe this will be a short beta period, or they'll just come out and say, just start using. I know it's technically quote-unquote beta, but please just start using this now, which would be fine. I think the overall opinion is that 2017 needs to head out the door as soon as possible. Just, it's gotten a little bit more stagnant than 2016 was. 2016 had a little bit more legs. Honestly, I'm really excited to see what they have for this, but
and honestly, you know what's left this year? I mean, I don't really hear of a lot of tournaments that go on in November, December. October's kind of the tail end of it, and most people do like story tournaments from what I hear, but if you guys know of different things. I mean, I know there's Nova, and obviously 2018 is not going to be done in Gen Con. And I'm pretty sure that Nova would not use 2018 just because it's untested. So really the two main tournaments that we're talking about, there may be another two, but I can't really think of any off the top of my head other than those two. So
yeah, there is that. I am at this point, it doesn't really matter because nothing big's going on. I mean, that sort of poo-poos smaller tournaments, but
no,
it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I don't mean to poo-poo smaller tournaments, and you know, I get that, but it's one of those things where it's like it's a 12-month cycle. You know, you can kind of deal with anything for 12 months. So yeah.
Okay, well, I think Dave and Brian are falling asleep, so let's bring it back to them. Real quick, guys, what do you think should have been changed over what was changed? What do you think changed that they haven't done yet?
Well, like I was saying, and we've mentioned the Hamlin stuff, like, Doug, you were saying how this is supposed to be the emergency errata? I didn't realize that. I thought this was just, like, you know, kind of what they did. I've only been playing for 6-8 months, whatever it's been. So, like, I thought they always just did an errata in July when they felt it was needed. But if this is their emergency errata, Mech Rider, not that broken. Practice production, yeah, I can see that being an emergency fix. The other three, though, maybe, maybe not. Windgammon, sure, I suppose. Like, it can suck to play against them. I've been there. But as far as emergency goes, Hamlin makes the game as an opponent almost unplayable. When, like, if you get a bad scheme pool, well, oh, I can toss three of these out the door. I guess I'm doing these two. Well, my opponent knows that, so all they need to do is deny me, and they should win. Assuming, you know, of if you're equal caliber players and, you know, the flips don't completely hate you. Hamlin should probably win that because they can utterly dictate and control the game how they want. So, like, I understand they don't want people buying a ton of cards, you know, if they change nihilism, but they just change nihilism to, you know, not include schemes. And they all you need to do is have a single card and just know that when you play and you're fine. And this is kind of a side thing, not that I'm an Arcanist player, but that 75% of your errata, it's one faction, that just doesn't seem fair to me. Like, sure, it's stuff that needs to be changed, whatever, but spread the love around, I guess, or don't hit them, one faction, right away, all at the same time, because that's pretty brutal, having three things changed out of four, and that just doesn't seem balanced to me, which is ironic. They're trying to attain balance by doing this.
Cool. Dave?
Just some of the wave four models that have come out just don't seem properly balanced, like the Yasunori. That model can fly across the map pretty easily in the right crews, and gain one AP charges with Asami, making it so that thing is punching way above its cost. Way above its cost, damaging things like Archie and Killjoy pretty quickly, just being able to bounce around. Kill this, you know, 4 or 5 point model, bounce to the next one, 4 point model. It's a little too mobile, and it's basically a super powered Howard with flight. So that I'm a little disappointed in. That's my biggest one. There's other models that need looked at, like the Philip and the Nanny, basically card generator. That'll keep a Resurrectionist pretty full on their hand for most of the, or a little bit too easy, I feel. Just other things like that feel like they should have been addressed more than, you know, slightly sidestepping Mech Rider. That it didn't feel like an emergency. Just tweaking, you know, Yasunori's walk, reduce it by one. So it can't fly, you know, 20, 30 inches in a single activation.
That's crazy. Yeah, I have not gone up against Yasunori myself. Lucky me. Never heard a single good thing about that model, and I never want to play it.
You lucky son of a... It's brutal. Like, you know it's coming. Like, they drop it, and you know exactly what they're going to do. And you just kind of sit there and be like, okay, have your way with me, and hopefully you didn't something too important. Or hopefully I can kill you back. Oh, I can't? Okay, you win. It's so demoralizing. And you're so lucky you've never had that happen.
Yeah, I'm absolutely... I hate the sort of collective understanding of how you deal with Yasunori is you just hope it doesn't kill too much and then you kill it back after it's done killing your stuff. That doesn't sound like fun.
No, it's not. And I also, and this is more of a personal thing, it's, at least from what I've seen for 10 Thunders, it's like an auto-take model. And I don't necessarily like models that are like that, because the whole point of the game is you have all of these choices in your models, and how do you want to, like, optimize a crew for the specific scheme pool? But Yasunori is just good in anything you run, which is obviously, like, it means it's a good model or whatever, but, like, the whole idea of an auto pick, just, I don't necessarily like it when it's this massive theater where there's really not any counterplay to it versus, you know, other factions have their auto picks. But you know, like, you know how to play around Howard for the most part in Arcanist. Or, you know, just things like that. Like, you know, it's big beater with an X, an assassinate trigger, all of that. You know mostly how to play around that. Yasunori, because with all the pushes 10 Thunders have and his flight, and he can, you know, run a billion inches wherever he wants, well, you can't play around it. So that just takes the fun out of the game. And that's the point, is push the models around and have fun.
I think the icing on the Yasunori shit Sunday is that he can declare his triggers when he's obeyed. Which is honestly kind of a godsend for Brewmaster. But who else in Thunders has an obey?
A couple of them. There's like three or four. I mean, most of them are Brewmaster. But I think outside of the Brewmaster bubble, like his general list, I think there's like one or two others. I am not a big 10 Thunders expert, though. I just see them a lot, but I think there's one or two out there.
Okay. Well, let's get real quick. Sean, what do you think need changed above these?
Oh, I'm not a good player, so I don't really ever...
Give me your super subjective opinion. What's the worst thing you've gone up against and think that it could use a change?
Oh, God. I don't even know. I mean, the experience I have is with the Gremlins, and I play kind of the same people with the same crews most of the time, and none of them really seem overly broken to me. So I don't know. I don't know. Come back to me. I'll think about it.
I've got a couple things that I could bitch about. Two of them. Oh, okay. Let's not do Yasunori, because that's already been covered. Two other things in the 10 Thunders faction. Big surprise. Terracotta Warriors can do just maybe a bit too much for what you're paying for them.
They're what, four or five?
Brian, you own them. What's their cost?
They're five. And they do basically whatever you need them to do. And they're wonderful, wonderful things.
Yeah, the upgrade switching mechanic feels quite broken. In some circumstances, more than others, like, I don't think Levy should be able to just change out his pariah for something free because he can take these guys. I don't think Brewmaster should be able to trade his infiltration upgrade for something else. Really, I think that upgrade should just be built into him, though. That's my opinion. Plus, them being able to just freely deny an attack on another model just by ditching a card. Well, they can deny it and take the wounds themselves, or they can just ditch a card and then turn it into absolutely nothing. So, any sort of last-minute gamble is completely nullified, and there's absolutely nothing you can do. It's like, well, I just need to hit this guy, and I can beat him, and I can finally win. It's like, nope, he takes no damage, because this thing I put him on turn one, and, oh, okay, you want to kill that other guy? Well, I happen to put it on that guy on turn two, so he takes no damage either. Ah.
Yeah, I think the swap... I don't think you should be able to use... Ancient Treasures, the upgrade swap on Masters. I think, like, I run him in my Levy crew, and it's great switching the Pry of Iron into an Oathkeeper or whatever I need it to be at the moment. I think it should only, you should only be able to do it on Henchmen or Enforcers, and that would fix it.
Yeah, I'd take that.
Or, and I will admit, maybe just not let Levy take him, which would suck. I think it is very powerful in a Levy crew. And then you don't need to worry about it. Like, there are some issues with McCabe.
Sorry about that, guys. We had a bit of a technical issue with board equipment, but I think we're back now. Brian went on a bit of a tirade about how he would fix the Terracotta Warrior and the issues that make it a little bit too powerful. But we're going to go ahead and move on because I have a little bit more bitching to do. If everyone's cool with that.
Go ahead.
Okay. The other only other thing was, and I'm not entirely sure how you'd fix it, the, we'll go again. The Shadow Emissary, and while it's not, doesn't seem entirely super duper powerful, I just see it all the freaking time, even when I'm not playing. Everyone that was plays 10 Thunder seems to have this thing on the field, and, it's that same thing where you don't want to see auto-takes in factions. And right now, it seems like the Shadow Emissary is an auto-take.
Yeah. I agree. It was I don't like the whole auto-take idea. And the Emissary, it's too good to not take. Like, all of the pushes and the, you get a focus, or I get focus, multiple focus. Like,
I get double focus for free.
Right, like, that's dumb.
And so basically one of my attacks is definitely hitting you for six.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And the other, like, the only other whiny thing I had was, like, I don't like Decaying Aura being on Reva. It's just too much, and obviously wasn't intended to be used that way. And she can put out a silly amount of damage. And, like, the one thing that you could possibly do when a model can just ignore all your defensive abilities is to stone for it, and she shuts that down at an incredibly long distance. It's painful.
I think it's one. It's a one soul stone, and it's just, like, way too strong. Like it gets to that point where that's the only way to, like, save your master, let's say. But, oh, you can't. Oh, and you're dead. So, I don't know. I think it could be changed, but it's not crazy broken. We just lost our one Rezzer player in our meta, so it doesn't really matter to me much currently anymore.
Well, maybe we can convince Victoria to come back sometime.
No, but Rezzers are scary, and they're Rezzers, and they're Necromancers. Scary. Just play Arcanists. Arcanists are good, wholesome people.
Okay. We spent well over half our time on this errata thing. why don't we get into something a little bit more fun and bring Vic into the fold? She'll be here any second now. But they revealed the models that will be on sale at Gen Con. And there's a hefty amount of them. We get to look at all the renders and all the nice goodies that we get in order in about a week. So I wanted to ask the group of you guys... what are the things you're most looking for? Let's just do one model. What is the one model that you are most looking forward to purchasing, and the that you are least impressed with?
Let me interrupt here for a second. I'm sorry. I got to bow out. My wife is, and I need to go take care of her. I apologize.
Oh, no worries. Okay. Bye, Sean.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Do you want to redo that intro into the section?
Why?
Because he kind of cut in right at the end there.
Oh, I think I saw it. It's everything. Do the model you like the most and the model you like the least.
Yeah, okay, I think that works. Should be fine.
Okay, top of the key. Not that guy. Victoria.
The one I like the most right now?
Yeah, which one are you most excited for?
The Centaurs.
The Cantoroi.
Yeah.
Because you're a Dirty Rezzer player?
Yep.
And Cantoroi are definitely Dirty Rezzer models?
Yeah, also fucking Centaurs.
I absolutely love that it's such a Rezzer thing to do, just to slap something on the another thing, and I like how I was totally right in that they're just people stitched on top of dead horses.
Yep.
What's up, Brian?
I didn't realize that's what they were. That's so cool. And very Rezzer-y. Huh, that's cool.
And they're
Sorry.
And they're like perfectly gross. So.
Mm-hmm.
We got the guts flopping out. And this other one has metal pieces in its horse legs for no reason. And they're going to make the Rezzers a lot more mobile. And I'm probably going to hate them real soon.
Yeah.
Yes, they're going to be a
problem.
I have a buddy talking about using it in conjunction with Ashes and Dust, and then just throwing those and walking it with Ashes and Dust, and then murdering everything. Like, oh, that sounds lovely.
That just sounds like Ashes and Dust.
Well, yeah, that too. But now he's even faster because he was too slow of a model before, right? Right, guy?
Was he?
Man, yeah, fuck Ashes and Dust.
His mobility is only like half the table. Like, you got to get that other half in somehow, right? For turn one? It's only fair.
So, Victoria,
what
model are you least excited about? Given what they described, what they were in the beta, and letting your imagination run wild, which one is the most disappointing?
I don't know. I didn't really pay that much attention to the beta. Most disappointing, though? I don't...
You could go with Miss Deed.
I don't really care about the Miss models, honestly, as far as, like, Miss Deed goes. I'm interested in collecting them, but, like, I didn't have any expectations for that. Honestly, the Groot Sling is not at all what I thought it would look like.
It's kind of like a Xenomorph and kind of like a Resident Evil boss.
Yeah. For some reason, I was expecting it to be more elephant-y, I guess. I don't know.
If you go ahead and Google Groot Sling, it's a mythological creature from Africa that's part snake, part elephant. And you get a little bit of the snake here and none of the elephant. I don't remember snakes having that many feet. Okay. Next on the list, Brian, what are you most excited for?
The Midnight Stalker, hands down. I played him a couple times in beta, and he didn't really do a lot for me just because I wasn't really sure how to use him, and then they kept changing it. Like, I played him under, like, two or three of the different changes. I could never consistently use him. But, like, looking at his sculpt looks so cool. I just like the come-at-me-bro type pose. And his abilities from at least the last beta card I saw look really good, and I think he could be a really useful model, and then he just looks really cool. So I'm excited for that. Like, he's just this guy who's just gonna go hopping around the board and stabbing some folks. But, like, that's just cool. I like it.
He seemed like a lot of fun.
Yes. And I'm a little worried he's going to die too fast, even though he has all of the negative when he hasn't activated and the full heals. I don't know yet with my playstyle and with my crews if he's going to, like, actually be a good model. But I want him. Like, he's on my buy list already for Gen Con. Like, I'm going to buy him regardless. Even if I never play him once, I want him. And I will get him actually painted well, and he's going to be great. And he's going to be that one model I just whip out to show people, like, oh, this is the game I play. Things look really cool. If I never use him. As far as models I'm disappointed with, not so much for the abilities themselves, but the sculpt of the Katatanka, or however you pronounce it, crime boss for 10 Thunders. Yeah, thank you. I'm terrible at pronunciations. The crime boss, like, I never pictured them as these big, like, armor-wielding, mechanical, like, they look like they have big, like, like tanks strapped to their back with a strong arm suit, and that's just not how I envisioned them. Like, one of the guys in our meta, he was proxying it when we were beta testing them with, I don't remember what the model was, but it looked like this big guy with, like, a 1920s, like, Tommy gun. And it's like, and it just, like, and I'm like, that's a crime boss. I know exactly what that model is, and you don't even need to tell me. I'm like, when you gave me the stack of cards, I'm like, oh, that's a crime boss. I see that. And these look like big, heavy beaters that, like, just broke down the door and are now invading your territory versus, yeah, like, the guy who runs Jacob Lynch's casino. I would have liked to see a more refined sculpt for them. That being said, the model, I think, is still really good based on the cards I've seen of it during the beta and playing against it. So, I don't know. I think the look could have been better done.
You could have used some shoes, for sure.
Yes, not sandals. I don't know.
Sandals, it's just bandages.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yeah, they look like sandals to me. You're right. Right, exactly. Like, I don't see him wandering around Jacob Lynch's casino, like, making sure it goes well, like, they're making all their money at the roulette table. I see him, like, he's stomping around and killing people who are trying to break into, encroach on the Little Kingdom. I don't know. It just doesn't seem consistent with Ten Thunders, but
Brian?
That's me.
Brian?
So, yes.
They look like Ninja Turtle villains.
Oh, a little bit. I see that.
They kind of look like a mix of, like, the main bad guy from Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes.
And, what was it? Like, their faces look like the dude from Ghost in the Shell with, like, the weird eyes.
Bato.
Yeah.
Again, that doesn't scream crime boss to me. That screams post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Yeah, and it does.
Malifaux, okay, arguably is post-apocalyptic wasteland, depending on how much wealth and money you have. So, I guess it makes sense.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, Dave, you decided to chime in. What's the model you're most excited for?
Do the alt models count?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, then Alternate Hungering Darkness, by far.
Yeah.
That's going to be so much fun.
That was Sean's, too.
Well, I could also go with the whole Curiosity Killed the Cat, because, you know, five cats, so...
He's back. What's up, Sean?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, I thought you were gone for good.
No, I don't know that you want to record all of...
Nah. Okay. So, anything else you wanted to talk about? No?
A choice that I would definitely go with the Grunt.
Can we start over at what Dave's least favorite? Dave.
Okay. I didn't actually do my least favorite. I was doing, if I couldn't pick the alt model, I was going to go with the Gremlin Crier.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because they just look ridiculous.
It's good to see some ridiculousness, because the one thing we did see was the Bokors, which were actually kind of a serious Gremlin model. And I was a little afraid that we were going to get just like all serious Gremlins and all goofy everything else. But yeah, that's plenty of Gremlin goof there. So was
well, I mean, we could also look at the Wrestlers. I mean, you want to talk about goof.
when we get to you, Dave, what's your least favorite?
Probably actually Talos. It's just not really doing a whole lot for me.
That's great.
I'm just curious what his story is, and if that the guy inside his iron belly thing is intentionally there for some kind of cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a alternate universe that fit in fairly well, but it just doesn't do it for you. Okay. I don't really like the hammer.
I almost think it would look cooler without the cage. If you just like did a normal like armor chest plate there, then it would look really cool with like, the helmet type and this looks like a hammer of some sort, and just then it would look really cool. But this cage with some Dark Souls-esque guy coming out of it just doesn't seem that. I don't know.
Okay. Then we'll go Sean. Sean, what's the model you're most excited for?
Well, single model, probably Hungering Darkness, but I really like the Curiosity Killed the Cat box, and like I said, it's five cats, so that's almost a necessity.
Hey, Sean, what are the name of your cats?
The names of my cats, the mother's name is Voodoo. The two daughters are Lilith and Pandora, and the two sons are Absinthe and Skulk.
Nice.
That's a lot of cats.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. But I'm looking at this Kandara model. That is going to be a fun model once it's assembled, but I just cringe thinking that each of those hairs is going to be a separate piece.
Oh, you know it's going to be, though.
That makes it more fun.
No, it doesn't, though. Doesn't yes, really.
It does.
Oh.
Hey, Arcanist needs some tough models.
Okay. I guess we'll go to Doug. Yeah, Doug. My thing that I'm most excited for is actually kind of a tie. I actually like the Thalarian Quellers and the Union Steam Fetters the most. They've got a whole bunch of detail. They're extremely characterful. One of them's in my, you know, home faction. They're just super cool, and they're going to be a blast to paint. And the Quellers, not in my group. I like the theme of them. They also have a ton of detail. This girl's boots have so many, like, individual straps on it. I have no idea how that's going to work out. It's going to be a fun and a pain at the same time. As for models, I'm not excited about. I actually don't like the alternate Hungering Darkness. Kill me now.
It's because you're wrong.
I can probably accept that. I just... The whole point, I thought, was that we don't really know who's in control in the situation with Huggy and Jacob Lynch. I mean, I'm sure there's an actual answer to that, but it's just he's supposed to be the henchman, and this just looks like kind of a mindless monster that you just point at things and it kills them. I always felt Huggy needed to be a little bit more clever looking, because he has that one story where he, like, gets the one dude addicted to brilliance and then imitates some people he knows and ends up eating him after driving him to madness. And this might make you crazy, but just from its appearance alone, one of the few redeeming qualities of Huggy is that he looks like a sentient being.
I get what you're saying. Too much head. Yeah, I get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, this doesn't really seem to have a face, unless that's the face in the middle of the mouth.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But I understand what you're saying. Like, it looks like just some unnamed horror you throw into people to kill them, versus Huggy being like this masterful entity. Like, I get that.
Oh, and the previous model encompassed that so well.
Yeah, the original Huggy looked pretty derpy.
Not arguing there. I'm just
derpy. You can still be masterful by being derpy. Like, that's how you just like lull your enemies into a false sense of security.
That model inspired somebody to mount it on an Oreo cookie and put googly eyes on it. So yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Not exactly a fearful creature.
Okay. Real quick, one more time through any standouts that haven't been mentioned and why you like them. Technically, Sean, you were first.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm really kind of excited about all of the models. I will not be buying them at Gen Con so as to give my local game store a chance to get my money. The one that really doesn't speak to me is unfortunately the Cyclops. I don't like those models, but that's just a personal thing. Otherwise, all of them are really, I like them. And the jury is one that just doesn't look like how I felt it should.
No way.
But yeah, I mean, otherwise, I mean, even the jury model is a fun model if you take it as just a model. But yeah, it just doesn't speak to me of jury. But yeah, no, I think they're all kind of cool. I'm digging them.
All right, Victoria.
I'm also really into Alt Nekima.
I don't think anyone's mentioned Alt Nekima yet.
I like her.
Oh yeah, she is far and above better than the current Nekima. Because she has clothes.
And size.
Yeah, she looks like she's going to fill that base a little bit more than the one I have right here.
She does. She's a lot bigger than the current model.
She looks like she's gonna wreck your shit.
Mm-hmm. Not someone you want to mess with.
It's Nekima was one of those models we just sort of felt a little uncomfortable having on the board. At least I think for most of us, it was a little weird.
Yeah, I just pulled up a Google search that in images. Yeah, that's not. Huh.
It's not a good ambassador model for the game.
It really isn't.
Well, this one is definitely infinitely better.
Yes, I agree.
Although the sword looks a little small. My one complaint, the sword looks a little small.
I think that's a bad perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say, see, like, to me it looks fairly large, but I think that's the way the image is showing up.
Hopefully. I think I saw the actual physical model in one of those reveal photos from a gaming convention. It also looks small in that, but I hope I'm wrong. Brian!
I'm really excited for Misdeed. I know people have been bashing her. Like, yeah. Like, I've seen it on the forums, too, that people are like not happy with how she looks. I think she looks really cool. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the Taylor sculpt as is. I also don't have a VIX box, so this is a way for me to get Taylor without buying all of the VIX, because I don't really have any intention of playing VIX.
You should just get the metal Taylor. It's so good.
I haven't seen the metal one either.
It's really good.
She's got mad underboob.
Oh. But, like, based on, like, her story, this, like, just, like, this sculpt to me is, like, she's super confident, and it's like, come at me, bro. And that just, like, to me, that's who Taylor is. So I really like this sculpt. Also that she has a good cowboy hat. I don't know why it's important to me, but I like it. Something about it. Well, it's like Gremlins. Like, whoever is the best hat, obviously, is the boss. And she has a great hat. So obviously she's a boss. That's how it works, right?
That is flawless logic. Okay. Dave.
Another one I really like is actually a Sura Rotten. It just kind of, because is that all three models on one base, or are these the two models that she summons?
They are all on one base. I saw this in the same photo as I saw the model of Alt Nekama, and I thought it was like going to be a zombie horde. But I believe the lady crouching is Asura, and the other models are just zombies she's summoning, and it's a representation that she can summon a lot of zombies.
Yeah, so it's a kind of model concept that seems pretty new, and I really kind of like it. For a model I don't like very much, where'd it go? I actually really don't like the Midnight Stalker. He just kind of seems like a standard dude.
What?
He also kind of looks like a Final Fantasy character with all the belts and frilly things.
Honestly, if you gave him the blades underneath the forearms, he looks like an Assassin's Creed character.
Yeah, from the London one. I see that.
I don't know. I kind of like him just because.
Well, he's supposed to be a murderer, then you don't know who it is, yeah. So he's kind of has to blend in.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wrestlers! No one has mentioned Wrestlers. Well, you did talk about Wrestlers at one point, but I'm pretty sure I cut that audio out. We get Wrestlers, yeah. And they're exactly what I hope they were. They are luchadors.
yes, I love
them. I just like the pig. The pig that's just, you know, it doesn't want to be there.
Like, yes, it is an unhappy pig. That one in the middle, in fact, I'm going to name Juan Cena. I need to come up with the names of the rest. that's awesome. Okay, any last thoughts? We probably can...
Again, it's like so.
Okay. Well, I guess we could just move right down. This is submitted by Victoria.
You're welcome.
So you know you can stop listening now if you
want. Ooh.
Oof.
Oh, well, fuck you too.
Language.
Really?
No, not really. But it is. What do you think is the best / cutest horrific monstrosity in the game? Victoria, explain yourself.
What do you mean, explain myself?
What do you mean by best, cutest, horrific monstrosity?
Just, you know, the horrific monstrosity you kind of have a soft spot for because you think it's kind of adorable.
Okay. I can actually see this working out fairly well. Okay, so Victoria... Uh-huh. You're top of the list. What is the best / cutest horrific monstrosity in Malifaux?
I actually think the Rogue Necromancy is pretty cute.
Why is the Rogue Necromancy pretty cute?
I don't know. I want to pet it. I don't know why.
Which part? It's got a couple heads.
Yes.
All of it. The gross goat part?
Yes.
Or the gross lion part?
Every gross part.
Or the gross weird snake tail thing?
The gross bird part?
Or the hoovesy part?
Well, I mean, you don't pet hooves. That's weird. Any of the gross head parts.
What's the other head? There's
a goat, a bird, a lion, and a snake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I forgot the bird.
You get the best of, like, every kind of animal.
But there's no red panda. You need a red panda, because they're the best animals.
Where is this coming from?
I'm pretty sure red pandas weren't...
invented.
Pretty sure they wouldn't take red pandas to Malifaux was going to
I don't
be.
Know. If I was in Malifaux right now, I would have a red panda with me.
Well, it's also 2017 now.
Yes.
True.
I'm going to go out on the limb here and say that most people in Malifaux times, being 1906, probably weren't aware of red pandas.
Well, they need to get their lives together, then.
I mean, obviously, but...
Brian's joining the Ten Thunders, is what he's saying.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm picking up on.
Ooh, I don't know if I can do that, though.
Okay, Brian, what is the best / cutest horrific monstrosity?
Oh, this is hard for me, but I'm going to have to go with Ashes and Dust. Because all he wants to do is give you a nice big hug... And
he's stepping on Taz territory.
Yeah, well, like he has these like nice claws to like stroke your hair with, as you just get enveloped by a sentient dust storm, and yes. He just wants to be your friend.
A sentient storm of love.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you understand, Doug. All he wants to do is just like be loved and share his love with everyone. That's why he can, like, move super fast up the board and, like, all of that. It's because he just has all of this love he wants to share. Yes. Okay. Ashes and Dust is the living embodiment of love.
Okay.
And that's why he is the cutest thing in Malifaux.
Okay.
Next to red pandas, which I'm sure are things, just people haven't discovered them yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Everyone thinks that the heart is the symbol of love. It's really the skull.
Exactly. Thank you. It's perfect. I'm glad you understand.
Dave.
I feel you.
Dave, what is the cutest / best horrific monstrosity in all of Malifaux?
Having recently gotten into Neverborn and starting with Zoraida, because I apparently love low tier masters for some reason.
Join the club.
Will of the Wisps are super gross, but also somehow kind of charming and cute.
Somehow.
Absolutely.
They
yes.
do have a certain charm to them, yes. Especially when you turn them around, they got the butt.
It's a weird
yeah.
butt.
The weird butt. I don't know, for some reason it's
kind and of... the little tiny gimpy legs.
Yes.
And just that one that's got his hands on his head screaming, "Oh, look, a puppy!"
Yeah, that one's pretty awesome.
That's obviously what it's doing.
Again, it's the skull. The skull is all the love.
Exactly.
Skulls are love.
Okay. So, we're up to me. And, you know, I already talked about Huggy. Huggy was actually going to be the guy I talked about. I mean, he's, come on, look at that big old smile, and he's just like 90% head, so you know you probably can't walk straight. He's just always falling over because of that big thing. So Huggy's a little bit adorable. But since this one didn't get picked up and really needs to be mentioned, is Archie.
Oh, yeah.
Archie's always
there. Archie's a cutie.
Yeah, right? He's got a love for ice cream. He's got a hilariously oversized arm, and then an extra arm that, I don't know, he probably uses it to carry groceries or something. And he's just got a soft spot for Molly and the fluff and all that stuff. So he is definitely the cutest horrific monstrosity in all of Malifaux. Prove me wrong, Sean.
Metal Nightmare Lord Chompy Bits.
God, I have to Google this.
Basically, it is the current iteration of Lord Chompy that's the plastic, but it has the Dreamer sitting on his shoulder.
Oh,
yep. Aww.
And there's just nothing that says love like a multi-fang beast with a gaping maw on his chest carrying a little boy in pajamas. It's my neighbor Totoro all over again.
It's a really creepy Totoro.
Well, and then, you know, following that, you know, my second choice was definitely Metal Teddy, because he was just awesome.
I'll definitely give you the Teddies are cute. And there's a bit of charm to Lord Chompy Bits, especially if you know his name. You're like, oh, he can't be that bad, right? Yes, yes, he can.
Yeah, absolutely.
God, jeez. I just now realized he had the mouth in his chest. I never noticed that. Well, the old Nightmare version doesn't look like the current one has it.
I don't think the current one has the mouth. No, current one doesn't have a mouth.
I could definitely. Oh yeah, there's some cuteness to him. I wonder if he flaps those big arms fast enough if he could fly.
He could do it.
Well, Dreamer used to have an ability that allowed nightmares to fly.
Great.
Amazing.
Oh, gosh.
And there was nothing more horrifying than a flying teddy.
Oh, God.
That doesn't need to happen.
That's not okay.
I actually I have two of the old metal teddies with the big teethy smile, one of which I put dark wings on the back of just because of they could fly.
Because of course they could fly. Great. Wonderful.
Why would they make that a thing? That shouldn't be a thing.
Oh, there were a lot of things with 1.5 Dreamer that should not have been a thing.
I think a lot of Malifaux, not the game itself, but the fluff, is just a series of, oh, come on!
Yeah. Oh, that is a very good way to describe it, too.
Oh,
and that's the timer.
That's the timer. We didn't really get very far on this one, but that just means we've got a whole bunch of cool ideas for next one. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are done, and I've got some audio that needs some serious editing because it got a little choppy there. But thank you guys so much for giving me your time and lending your voice and opinions to this show. Thank you, Victoria.
Yep.
Thank you, Sean.
Not sure who you were thinking. Their audio broke out.
Sean!
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, we made it.
Yeah, and thank you, Brian, for coming on for the technically first time.
Thank you. It was a good time.
All right, and thank you, listeners, for putting up with us. We will be back in another 2 weeks, and we should be coming out soon with a new episode of Steam-Powered Scoundrels now that the Through the Breach book is out. I just need to get my hands on it and get reading it as fast as I possibly can. But that should be coming out soon. And
yes, you do.
What's up?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do.
You're going to like it. You're going to like
it. I'm going to have a crazy good time. But as always, we are terribly sorry for
everything.
Goodbye.